Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Violante. I'm your host for today. I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with Michael Cash, author of The Hanging Tree, a novella. This paranormal story touches the nerve on humankind's struggle with right and wrong and how our decisions as individuals can affect the life of those who come to this earth after we are gone. A great read, which I had the pleasure to enjoy and definitely recommend. But before we start, let's learn a little bit more about Michael. Born and raised on Long Island, Michael has always had love for horror, thriller, paranormal, science fiction, and fantasy. Earning a degree in English and an MBA, he has worked various jobs before settling into being a full-time author. He currently resides on Long Island with his wife and children. For more information on Michael and his books, visit his website at www.michaelphillipcash.com. And that is Michael, Phillip, cash.com. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Hey, Susan. Good. How are you doing?
Good. It's good to talk to you again, especially after reading your book, The Hanging Tree, which I loved, by the way.
Thank you.
Sweet, and it kept me engaged. It's the best read, because you can take it with you every time. It's a small book.
That was the point. I guess I did the trick. Yeah, that is exactly the point. Short, sweet, and to the point. And thank you. I appreciate it.
That's great. But before we start talking about your book, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Okay, absolutely. Thank you for having me back. I really appreciate it. My name is Michael Phillip Cash, and I'm the author of a line of novels. My first novel was Brood 10. A first-hand account of the Great Cicada Invasion, and my second book was called Stillwell, A Haunting on Long Island. My third novella, which is a shorter version of a novel, is called The Hanging Tree, which is what we're here to discuss today. And my new fantasy line just came out called Schism, The Battle for Duracea, and it's book one in a series of three, possibly four books. I haven't decided yet, but I'm an author. I'm a self-published author, and I love to write. And that's who I am.
And that's great. And listeners, you can find out more about Michael at www.michaelphillipcash.com. And that is Michael, Phillipcash.com. Michael, why did you choose to self-publish?
Honestly, Susan, I didn't even bother sending a manuscript to the big publishing houses. I've heard nothing but horror stories that, you know, they don't even look at people just trying to break into the industry. And if they do, it's a one in a billion shot. And I'm a gambling man. I love to gamble. I wasn't willing to take that gamble. And I was, you know, I've been writing for several years. I've been writing screenplays since I was 14 years old. And I wanted to write my novel. I wanted to write, you know, the novel that I thought would, you know, would do well. And I wrote the novel. I didn't even consider sending it to a publishing house. And I was on Amazon one day. I think I was buying some self-help books. And I scrolled down. I saw self-publish with us, independently published with us. I clicked on the link. And there was this company that it took me to a link that called createspace.com. And I was hooked. It was literally a click on the mouse to get me to where I am today. It's almost as if CreateSpace found me. I started self-publishing, and it's easy. It's just, they make it so easy that anybody can do it. The only thing you have to do is write your manuscript. You know, write what you want. And I've noticed, you know, I've bought several different authors through the self-help, through horror, through paranormal, ghost, through even fantasy, and some people write 25 pages. I think the minimum is 25 or 26 pages. Some people write 500 pages. It doesn't really matter, you know, and CreateSpace, I have to give all my credit to CreateSpace for being where I am today. Self-publishing is, I think it's the wave of the future. I think that you're going to see more and more prominent authors moving to self-publishing because you're in complete creative control, and I'm a control freak. So I'm in complete creative control over my work, how the book looks, the price, who it gets sent to, and I have a publicity team that works for me, and they publicize the book. So that's why I chose to self-publish. I thought it was the right move. I think that's the future. And I think self-publishing is kind of like the smartphone of today's age. No one's using those clamshell phones anymore.
Yeah.
Everyone's moving to smartphone.
Yeah.
And I think we're on the ground floor of it. I think we're just starting self-publishing. Within a few years is just going to be the biggest boom.
Yes, and I want to clarify to many listeners, because when people talk about Create Space, they automatically think it's only ebooks that you can do there for some reason. I've spoken with a few aspiring authors, and that's the opinion they have. Actually, you can go all the way to print format. You actually are the one that choose the format that you're going to go with.
That is correct.
Like everything
that
else.
Is correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you choose the dimensions of your book. You choose. I will be honest. I've garnered more sales from Kindle and Nook than from, say, soft covers. They don't do hard covers. It's print on demand, meaning that you hold no inventory, which is the greatest thing ever, because I have no room to hold these books.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, if you go to my Amazon page right now and you buy a paperback of one of my books, let's say Stillwell, you click buy, and they print the book on demand, and it's sent to your house. I mean, the technology that Amazon has created is
And people don't know this either, but a lot of even the big publishers are using the print-on-demand system because it just is a reduction of costs on warehouse and
Absolutely.
Everything, especially with new authors. You know, I mean, if you have a Stephen King or you have a celebrity that has a huge platform, of course, they're going to risk more money into it and maybe go ahead and order
Absolutely.
Tons and tons of books. But for everybody else, they're actually beginning to reduce costs by doing print-on-demand as well.
Absolutely.
There's one stigma with self-publishers, though. The bookstores, I hear this is another thing that I get, and that's why I'm bringing it up, because I
sure.
want to give listeners a point of view from somebody that's in the middle of the self-publishing business right now and having a great time with it. What is this? There's a lot of bad rap that self-published books have gotten from bookstores, and I think that a lot of the traditional publishers and agents had a lot to do with that bad rap. And it is mostly about the quality of the book, not as much as the quality of the story, but the quality of the final product, whether it is with editing, cover design, book formatting, et cetera, et cetera. What was your experience in this sense?
The experience, look, I mean, people look down on self-publishers. People feel that, you know, are you doing it yourself? You know, you're not that good. You could be just some lazy dude, you know, writing a manuscript in his living room and self-publishing. And, hey, if that's the case, I mean, I'm a best-selling author, you know. Call me whatever you want. My book shows up next to The Shining
yeah.
on Amazon. Stephen King, okay, it's worth $400 million. That's awesome. I'm not even close to that. So, you know, people may look down on it, but people look down on anything when it comes to change. People don't like change in general. People like a routine. And Amazon is turning the industry on its head.
Mm-hmm.
You have control over your dimensions of the book. Is that the question that, you know, you
well,
can
no,
choose?
Well, no, actually, yeah. The question was, you know, why is this rap on a finished product, bad rap on a finished product coming out? And I want to clarify that my thing is, it really depends of the author's control on the whole product. If you want a good product, you can make a good product. Because it
exactly.
is in your control. And I think that most of the cases that the editing is not up there or the cover design is not up there is because a lot of people without experience don't get guidance into what
right.
resources are there and what they can do and how to find an affordable professional editor, et cetera, et cetera. So
I would like to mention that Create Space is not the final, you know, Create Space is the service that I use.
Mm-hmm.
There are, if you buy the book, for anyone who's interested in self-publishing, I'll give you the Bible right now. The Bible is called APE, A-P-E. I think it's author, publisher, entrepreneur. And it's by a guy, I don't remember his name, but if you go on Amazon and type in APE, author, publisher, entrepreneur, that is the Bible for self-publishing. And it breaks down all the different types of services that you can use as a self-publisher. And again, CreateSpace is just one cog in the whole machine. You know, there's Exilaris, I think it's called. Don't quote me off the top of my head. I highly recommend the book APE because it really gives you a step-by-step guide on how to self-publish. And it will give you any answer that you need, any question, comment regarding self-publishing.
And I love the title of this book because, in all honesty, you know, if you're an author that are looking to publish, you're automatically an entrepreneur.
100%.
And so,
absolutely.
As such, you have to do your homework. You have to do your research about the industry,
yes,
and how to do things so that you have a marketable product out there. And,
that's exactly,
you know,
right.
And make some, you know, and have a success story more than anything. But,
yes.
Yeah, so thank you for that tip to our listeners. So, again, it's APE. And you can just, I bet you if you Google it, you can find it everywhere as well. Or just go to Amazon and type APE. Another question for you. I know you, and you mentioned before, you also write screenplays. So,
yes.
So how long have, you said you were until the 14, you were 14 when you first started?
Yes. Yes. And I was, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. So, as a business, though, I mean, to writing, you're both. You write screenplays, and you are also a book author. What are the differences in it when you're trying to market your work? I mean, from the beginning, you know, when you start writing it and when you're going to try to sell your work, what is the difference between being an indie author or, I guess, you're an independent screenplay writer as well?
Yes, I don't have representation, and it's much harder to get a screenplay made. I mean, there's no service. I know Amazon has services that are starting to kind of generate speed called Amazon Studios, where they're now buying scripts and they're making them into movies. So they're kind of doing what they're doing with the indie books, with the create space type books that anybody can upload their manuscript and make it into a book within 24 to 48 hours. Now they want to make it that anyone can upload a screenplay and upload, you know, and possibly get it produced, you know, I don't know, within, you know, I don't know how long the time frame would be.
Yeah.
My first love was screenwriting. I've been doing screenwriting for 20 plus years now, and a few of my ideas have translated to Hollywood. I didn't get any credit for it, but I did have the opportunity to pitch a few ideas. And the one thing about screenwriting is you just gotta keep writing. You always have to be writing. That's the best advice that any screenwriter would give to, a novice. It took me several years to really break into the industry. And when I won this contest for my first screenplay for Brood 10, first screenplay that I translated to a book, I should say. But screenwriting is it's a totally different ballgame. It's not even the same sport as writing a book. Writing a book, you could talk about the way the room smelled for five pages. In screenwriting, you have to say the room smelled like flowers. That's it.
So what is it about it that you like of a screenplay? Is it because of the difference in the type of writing that you're doing, or is it because
Yes. I love the idea that a screenplay is minimal. You can literally say so much in a matter of five or six words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a screenplay, I'll give you, for instance, this is like one of my favorite lines in any book, and I won't be vulgar here, but in this book that I read called Your Screenplay Sucks by William Akers, one of the best books on screenwriting. It's one of the Bibles for it. How do you describe a really messy room? Well, in a book, you would say, you know, there was papers all over the floor and, you know, blood and guts on the wall and there was this, that, and the other thing. And you go and you really describe the intricate details of what it smelled like, the sounds, the sights. That's what you're describing in a book. In a screenplay, you put a crappy room. That's it. Interior, a crappy room. And that gives the visual to the director of how he wants to make it. Because when you realize screenplays, you're not directing the script unless you're obviously a Quentin Tarantino. who's my inspiration. Screenplay is you're writing bare bones, and then the director and the director of photography are building their art into what's on screen.
So basically the descriptions have to be open for their own interpretation.
That is correct.
Well, that's not easy to do.
No, it's not, and that's why it's really hard to get a script made into a motion picture. I mean, first of all, you have to be in the right place at the right time with the right people looking at the right thing, and then even then, you know, you don't want any detractors as it goes on. Screenplay writing, what I've learned from screenplay writing is when you write your first draft of your script, by the time it gets to the screen, it's like a game of telephone. Do you remember, Susan, playing telephone when you were in school where you would tell someone, the picture of the car is black. And then it would go through 20 other people, and they would say, my computer's name is Roy. And it has nothing to do with a picture of a black car on the wall. It is not what you think it is, and that's what screenplay writing is. When you write a script and you think this first draft is going to be in the movie theaters within a year, it's nothing like that. It's got to go through a million different hands, and a million different hands get to tell you how to change the art.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the most difficult part of it. You know, you can't be so attracted to your work. You have to be very flexible.
Yeah, and it's difficult to do because especially, I guess, on my generation, we're very not, I don't want to say control freak, but we're just very, very attached to what we have in our head and how our story goes. And it takes a lot to let go. I remember when I first started writing, I needed to also learn how to write in English. So my thoughts were in Spanish, and the way I was looking through things were with my cultural background. And so when I would go to my critique groups, it was like I was totally dismembered, you know, by all of them. Because they were seeing things totally different, and many things that I could picture in my head they couldn't. And it was daunting, and it was not easy for me to let go. And I had to, if I did want to write in this background culture and for this type of market, because this is where I live. So so I can relate to that. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
I never imagined that, though. I didn't think that it would be that different. I always thought that maybe, and this was going to be my next question, is it better to pitch? If I have a book and I want to try to pitch it for a movie, is it better to pitch it as a book manuscript or a book sample, send people the book, or convert it into a screenplay and then try to pitch the screenplay instead?
It's a great question. It really is. It's really half a dozen, you know, I don't know how the saying goes, but it's really one or the other. I mean, there are people, like one of my favorite movies of all time is Sideways. This author, Rex Pickett, was writing his book, and the director, Alexander Payne, who's also a screenwriter, bought the rights to the book before the book was even finished because he loved the idea of the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that agents have a lot to do with it. I think that managers and lawyers have a lot to do with it while getting your work out there. You know, if you're pitching to a film company, I think you got to go with a script. That's just my own preference, and that's my own personal opinion. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong about that. But if you're gaining no traction, convert your script to a novel and put it on Amazon and get 500 reviews, and then write another script and then say, by the way, this is based on a book that I have and it has 500 five-star reviews. You know, that's along the lines of what I'm doing now.
Yeah, and I thought that that would be the case. I thought that, because people buy things per review now. There's so many options, indie music and, you know, indie everything and indie books and now indie movies as well. Everything is indie thing now. People like to look for the underdog and things that are underground. And so I think actually that being an indie is beginning, instead of having a bad rap, is beginning to have some kind of celebrity status.
Yes, I agree.
And that's just how I see it. So I would imagine, though, first I thought it would be best with the book because that's all I know, of course. But when, you know, hearing you talking about just how different a script and a book can be, I would imagine that a film production company, especially if it's an indie one, that have limited budgets and resources, would go for one less thing to worry about, number one, and number two, something that they can envision better in the film world.
That's a great point. And yes, you're right. And again, what I just said was my preference. You know, it could be complete opposite. I feel, listen, there's, people, if you can march into a studio or get an agent because you have a brand behind you, you know, you could say, I have 500 reviews on Amazon. I have 100 reviews. I have a following. Here's my website. Here's this. Here's that. I think it would sell more. It's very possible that you can go and say, I have a book. This would make a great movie. You know, and that could work.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that would work.
Yeah. Well, it's always the luck of the draw, I think, and also what their programs are at that time, what they're wanting to do, because sometimes people go by programs. Okay, you know, there's a trend of World War movies, so let's look for that, or there's a trend
that is exactly
movies.
Right.
Yeah.
That is exactly right.
It's the luck of the draw what the producers have in mind that would sell. But but I guess, you know, if it costs less and they can visualize it better and you have on top of that all those reviews on a book, you're right with that. You know, that's a good tip to have.
Yeah.
They self-publish a book and then get the screenplay done and grab
yes,
all
that's exactly
reviews.
Right.
Yeah.
Build your brand. And really what an author is just a brand, you know.
Yeah, that is true.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Michael Cash, author of his most recent publication, The Hanging Tree, a novella. Stay tuned, because we are going to continue this fun and insightful conversation with Michael about his own experiences in self-publishing, screenwriter, and so much more. But in the meantime, you can check out his books by visiting his website at www.michaelphillipcash.com. And that is Michael, P-H-I-L-L-I-P, cash.com. Let's go a little bit more personal on the interview.
Sure.
You're not the only one that publishes in your family, is it?
No. I am not.
So,
I am not.
So tell us a little bit about your team. And
sure.
And how the writing came about in your family.
Yeah, I mean, my mom actually was a published author back in the 80s. She wrote this book called Winds of Destiny, and it's available on Amazon. It's still there. I don't think she sold many copies, but she was a published author. She, you know, she was the original writer in our family, and I mean, I took on that. I love the idea of writing. I've always, since I was a kid, I love the idea of telling stories. Mm-hmm. And my mom is a from the inspiration of my children and my brother's children, is an award-winning children's author.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Carol P. Roman. And she's all over Amazon. She's all over the internet. She's a big blogger. She loves this stuff. And it became like a second life to her almost that, you know, she could turn out these books and really touch children's lives. And she's won awards for her Captain No Beard series. She has a few series. She has a Captain No Beard series, which is a tales of a young boy pirate who's based on my son. And my niece, whose name is Hallie, and My I have a daughter also who started making cameo appearances in it because she's newer to the family. Recently my son saw how much writing I've been doing and he wanted to write a book with me. My son is 5 years old.
Wow.
And yeah, it's really amazing how easy this is. And he wrote this, him and I, we wrote this book on a Saturday called Whaley's Big Adventure. He's got this stuffed animal called Whaley, and it's this blue whale that he has, and we bought it at the Museum of Natural History in New York, and he takes this whale with him everywhere. It's always his show and tell at school, and he's in kindergarten. And he wanted to write a story about this character who goes on this adventure in the ocean and meets all these different types of whales. And it's currently in the final phases of being published. We, you know, he drew all these pictures, and it's presented by my mom, it's presented by Carol P. Roman, who is who's promoting the book. Mm-hmm. As a 5-year-old who wrote his own book, drew his own pictures. We obviously cleaned it up, you know. We cleaned up the research on it. But there's 3 generations of self-publishers.
That's awesome,
on my team.
That's another beauty of the the self-publishing industry, you know, that made
yes.
possible for such young.
A 5-year-old. Could,
yeah.
This is the caption that should be on CreateSpace. Self-publishing so easy a 5-year-old can do it. I'm serious. I mean, yes, he needed my help to upload the files and everything, but this is where it's going. He's 5. He wrote a book. He drew the pictures. It's uploaded on CreateSpace. We're just waiting on a final approval, and it's going to be live on Amazon within the next week.
Mm-hmm.
This is mind-blowing. I wish I could have had this at 5 years old.
This is awesome, and you have no idea what a great tool this experience is giving him for the rest of his life.
Yes,
to be able
that's exactly
to
right.
get something out of your head and visualize it out of your head, see it out of your head, created by you. It's awesome, you know.
Yes.
It's awesome at that such a young age to be able to do. There's people that go through their lives and never get to do that, you know.
That's exactly right. He's 5 years old, and he was inspired by me writing, and I pushed him. I mean, I'm not one of those fathers who, you know, who doesn't really care. I say to him, Alex, you know, what do you want to write? Let's write an adventure story. Yeah, Dad, let's do it. Whaley goes on this, and he meets an orca, and he meets a humpback whale, and we name the names of each whale, and there's a little blurb, there's a little fact on each whale that, you know, the orca is one of the fastest swimmers in the ocean, and, you know, he meets Owen the orca, and he drew these pictures. He sat one day, and he watercolored all these pictures, and my brother, who handles the technology side of all of our business, the visual side, he does all the covers for our business. He uploaded it and made it into whatever, I don't know, PDF, TIFF, JPEG,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't get that stuff. My brother handles that entire side for me, and it really... it really is. It's a team. And I would like to mention that if you are self-publishing, the more people you have on your team, the more successful you will be.
I agree with you. I didn't know that, and I was also a control freak, and it was very difficult for me to delegate things. And I've learned on the second time around just how much better it can be by getting other people involved and start delegating to people.
Absolutely.
To give you an example, I remember I was set up with my cover. Right? And I designed it myself, and I was set up. This is the best front cover I can ever have for this book. And then I sent it to the publisher, and the publisher sent me back, oh, we love your cover, but if you go with us, this is what we can do. Guess which one
exactly.
I picked.
No, of course.
You know?
It wasn't even a question.
It's not being open. Yeah, if they would have not done that, I would have gone with my cover, and it would have not sold the way it did because the cover had a lot to do with people being hooked to look at it and read the back. And,
right.
You have to kind of, you know, surround yourself with people that will take, that know a little bit more about you, you know, about
right.
what you're doing actually, not you, but know a little
right.
bit more of, you know, what a good cover, how it can hook somebody to just turn the head and look at it. Oh, wait a minute, you know. And
right.
That was the beginning, and after that, I have an excellent team for my own things because I know I
that's
can
great.
Do it all. Yeah.
My brother designed all of our covers. So I have to give him full credit. His name is Eric. He designed all of our covers,
and the book trailers are awesome. I don't know who does the book trailers.
He did those too. I have, you know, the kid is unbelievable. You know, I missed out on that technology by 5 years. I'm 5 years older than him. And he gets it. He understands it. He visualizes it. So I'm the writer. He's making it visual.
Yeah.
You know, it's a team effort. I wouldn't be able to do this by myself.
And listeners, I want to let you know where to check out those trailers and covers. You can go to michaelphillipcash.com, and that is Michael, PhillipCash.com. You have written in three different genres already. I know that you had some kind of a self-help book.
Yep.
You also had all these horror or paranormal type of books, or thrillers, and the novella. Then you've worked on a children's book with your son. Which one is your favorite genre? What do you want to do other than screenplay? Because we know the screenplays is your love. But what genre, what topic do you enjoy writing about more?
You know, I don't know if it's because it's the most recent one. I loved writing the self-help books. I loved writing paranormal and ghost. It was fun. It was fun. But I'll be honest with you, the fantasy books. When I did Schism, The Battle for Deracia, mm-hmm. that was mind-bending. To just create your own universe, I can't tell you how creatively amazing it feels that you can rename what a monkey is. You know, you could rename the Great Lakes what they're called. It's yours. And yes, that is true for any type of book. You know, for Brood 10, when I wrote Brood 10, I really had to really research cicada, you know, to make sure that I wasn't talking stupid about cicada and the facts about them were real. For Stillwell, you know, I had to research about, you know, hauntings and Revolutionary War and the history, you know, and what a loyalist was and the history of Long Island, because I wanted to incorporate a good history. Same thing with The Hanging Tree. That there was research I had to go into that. For my fantasy series, man, whatever came to my head came out on paper. There was no research. The only research I did was just watching Star Wars for the past 35 years, or watching Lord of the Rings, or watching Avatar, and seeing how the masters do it. George Lucas, James Cameron, Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
These guys are my inspiration for fantasy. That was fun. To recreate an entire world, everyone in their life should write a fantasy novel.
Yeah, I think it's the most difficult thing to write. I love fantasy. It's my favorite genre to enjoy when it comes to written by somebody else. But or the movies as well. But
yes.
I have never tried it. I'm intimidated by it. Because, like you said, it's like a creative labor. And I've been through labor twice. So.
My wife has been through labor twice, and it wasn't a pretty sight. But you know what? Creatively, it's more fun because you can take a word and invert it. And, you know, so let's say, like, for my new series, for Schism, the prince's name is Prince Viser. And I came up with his name, V-apostrophe-S-A-I-R. And you say, how the hell did you come up with a name like Viser? Where did this come from? And I was looking, I shouldn't say I wasn't doing research, because I was doing research. I mean, it took me a quarter of the time to say, you know, research about fantasy, as opposed to something like, you know, Brood 10, which you had to be scientifically accurate.
Yeah.
Viser is just an inverted word of savior.
Wow.
It's someone who is going to save their own land, and that's where I came up with it. So instead of calling him Prince Savior, I inverted it. I took out the O, and I called him Viser.
Yeah.
So there's meaning behind every single word that's in my book. You know, Deracia, the Battle for Deracia, I looked up a term of heaven. You know, what's a perfect land? There's utopia. There's heaven. There's nirvana. There's Arcadia. So I took the word Arcadia, and I inverted it to Deracia.
That's awesome.
So there's kind of like this subliminal thing going on.
But you know what? Make no mistake. The things that you're making up, they have to make sense to make it credible.
Exactly.
Or the reader will be pulled out of the story. So that's
exactly
where
right.
I'm afraid. That's what's intimidating to me.
It's not. It's. I understand what you're saying, Susan. I do. And it really, if you do it and it has meaning and there's a lot of beef around those characters, if you're not coming up with inverted words every single sentence, you're going to be fine. You know, if there's actual substance to your story, if there's beef and meat around your story, then the characters will become real to you. And that's what happened with Schism, is that these characters became real, that these words that I made up became actual living human beings in my mind. And the reviews show, I have 16 reviews already. The book hasn't been out for 30 days. You know, you should do some research into writing fantasy. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. I have to tell you.
I might look into it because it is my favorite genre to read, and it is my favorite type of movie to watch. Fantasy, anything that is fantasy, I just love, and I actually drive everybody. I even drive my teenage girl crazy with my love of Vampire Diaries, to tell you.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's just because it's fantasy that I like it, because there's something about fantasy, especially when they this is what I love about fantasy, especially when you take a legend or you take things that people never knew whether they were true or not, and you twist and turn them and start taking all these legends from every single culture and create a work of art with that. I love it. And I don't care if it has vampires, werewolf, or if it has, fairies, or if it has anything.
That's exactly right.
It's just the way it's that line where it's something that is not true but is so believable that you wonder if that really, you know, could be a world somewhere else. And
right.
And that's I just love it. So I'll check it out.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Now, working with your son, I can't imagine how much took you back when you were 14 and you were beginning to work your own screenplays. And we're running out of time, but I do want to ask you this. What will you tell your own son when the book comes out, now that you've had, you know, best-selling work out there and you know just how wonderful or how disappointing it could be when you get a review and all that stuff. So what piece of advice do you have for your own son when the book comes out?
That's a really great question. And I haven't really thought about it. I'm a very positive person. I live life with a great energy, and I don't believe in negativity, and I won't accept negativity into my life. I promote that with my son. I tell him that I'm going to tell him the sky's the limit. And if he wants to create a series of whale books, he can do that. If he wants to create a series of space books, he loves, you know, space. He's very, very well-rounded. And, you know, I'm going to tell him the sky is the absolute limit with what he wants to do. If there's negative criticism, I'm going to tell him it's called constructive criticism, because there really is no such thing as negative criticism. That if someone's not going to like his work, which I think they're crazy because it's really, really, it's great, I'm going to tell him that, you know. Listen, I've written books before, and people have given it one star. They didn't like it. They thought it was stupid or cheesy or corny or whatever words they decided. I don't mind that. It stung the first time you read it, and then afterwards you kind of just, you know, you really you learn to accept it as criticism, and just know that people are just, you know, they have a difference of opinion. And that's what makes this world so great, is that everyone doesn't always have to like what you write, and that's okay. I haven't written a bomb book yet where I've had more negative reviews than positive reviews. All of my reviews have been very, very positive. I would tell my son that you got to roll with the punches, and you can create whatever you want. You know, the sky's the limit for you. And if someone doesn't like your work, you know, push harder, make more. You know, write more, and keep going for it. You know, go for, and have the ultimate goal in your mind of where you want to be in 5 years from now. I mean, if he's self-publishing at 5, I couldn't imagine what he's going to do at 10 years old. Maybe, you
know,
maybe he's going to be publishing novels. I have no idea.
Well, I remember this kid that wrote a book at 10 years old, and he won actually one of our awards in, I think it was the 2012 copyright that he won. And it was awesome just to work with him and his family, because it was like Christmas every day, every time that we would talk, just because he got the book out was Christmas every day. And it was an amazing book. It was a picture book geared to early readers, I think. And
right.
It had a message in it, and it was awesome, and he came out with it by himself. And every day is Christmas every time I talk to him, because everything that came afterwards was a bonus. The big Christmas
right.
present was that that book was out and came
right.
from his head. So, I can't wait until you have to film him and put him somehow in your website when the book is out.
I will. I certainly will.
I can't imagine just how much happiness that's going to bring to him. But you know, we're running out of time, and you know, as usually, I can talk to you forever. But we don't have time anymore. I do want to mention again your website, listeners. Visit michaelphillipcash.com. Again, Michael, P-H-I-L-L-I-P, cash.com. You're going to love the trailers, and I'm sure you're going to be interested in any of the books. He has all the genres in there. Go check
Absolutely.
Him out. Amazing writer.
Thank
amazing
you.
Talking to you. I love your mom, by the way, too.
She loves you, Susan.
So can't wait to hear about your next book and see how it's doing. It's been only out 30 days, like you said, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be as good as the other ones. And again, you know, The Hanging Tree is one of the books that I kept. And if we ever meet in person, you're going to need to sign it, because I really like it.
100%.
I like short, and I love short stories, because it's something I can't write either. So novellas
right.
are great for me. And
Susan, sorry. Email me your address and I'll send you some signed copies. It would be my pleasure. I'm
right.
serious.
All right.
Susan, thank you for everything. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for being here. And listeners, thank you so much again for being with us. And until next time.